speaking of presence, that is to say P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, I'm going to share with you a very short YouTube video from none other than IKEA. That's right. Perhaps you've seen it. The video is called The Other Letter. It's in Spanish with English subtitles, and it does move really quickly. But I think if you can't track the text, in the end, I think you will get, if I can say it this way, the IKEA idea. See what I did there? Yeah. It's my daughter leading that charge over there of mocking her father. All right, let's go.
Bueno, vamos a escribir la carta a los Reyes Magos. ¿Sabéis ya lo que vais a pedir?
Sí, sí. Sí, este año me he portado muy bien.
¿Un juego?
Una guitarra.
¿Una Wii?
Este y este.
Un unicornio que huele
punta con punta.
Estas las dejo aquí para mandárselas a los Reyes. Y ahora vais a escribir otra carta. Una carta a vuestros papás. ¿Qué les pediríais a vuestros papás esta Navidad?
¿Algo más?
Vuestras hijas han escrito una carta a los Reyes Magos y esta para vosotros.
Queridos papás,
quiero que estés más tiempo conmigo, que hagamos más experimentos en casa.
Me gustaría que nos hagáis un poco más de caso.
Me gustaría que
cenarais más con nosotros.
Quiero que me hagáis cosquillas.
Y que les leamos un cuento.
Quiero que estemos un día juntos.
No puedo.
Quiero jugar, mamá. Que juegues conmigo, vaqueros.
¿Quieres jugar más al fútbol conmigo?
¿Os sorprende que os pidan esto para Navidad?
Pues no, la verdad es que no nos sorprende. A mí no.
Tienen demasiados juguetes siempre.
El sentimiento de tratar de
Sustituir.
Pues llenarles ese pequeño vacío con un juguete que les...
Pasar todo el tiempo que tenemos, el máximo con nuestros hijos.
Piensa que tú quieres darles todo lo mejor y lo mejor eres tú.
Si lo está escribiendo, es porque lo necesita, ¿no?
Si solo pudieras enviar una de las dos cartas, ¿cuál enviarías? ¿La de los Reyes Magos o la de papá y mamá?
Uy, es una pregunta muy difícil. La de mamá.
La de mis padres.
Papá y mamá.
So I didn't share that video to make us feel bad about what we may or may not be doing as parents, dads, moms. I shared it because I think it contains a very critical truth about human nature. That more than anything, because we are made in the image of God, who has been, is, always will be in perfect and playful relationship with himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, being made in that image of relationality, we need the presence of God. Of others. Not gifts, but being present. Some call this attachment theory, and some think that this theory only really applies to children. And some others, like me, actually think it applies up and down the age continuum in every relationship in our lives. But while we're at it, let me try to illustrate what I think is meant by attachment theory by using a parenting example. Something called circle of security parenting. So what I want you to do is take your hands and form it like this, okay? So you're basically forming the letter C, and if you can imagine holding it like this, you can imagine then a loop going out from there and coming back. It's an important visual to keep in mind about what we're going to talk about today. You can stop doing that when you feel comfortable, but know that I want you to have this in mind. So if you're going to do this for the next half an hour, that is going to irritate me. Don't do that. But that said, keep this in mind. It represents the starting and end points of a circle from which children come and go to explore. And they go out from a secure base, and they come back to a safe haven. They go out and they come back. We are the secure base, us adults, that give our children, our grandchildren, and the kids that we otherwise work with this sense of safety. They need to step out onto the circle, and having it, they will do so to explore the world. And then, of course, and you've seen this dozens of times on playgrounds, the kid goes out and comes back. They will come back because it is a safe haven. So we are also the safe haven they come into when they need connection, right? It's as if we're filling their emotional cup when they return. Once filled, they're ready for another trip around the circle. They go out, they come back, we refill their cup emotionally. I can go back out again, and I can explore. Our relationship can grow stronger with each new round as we fill and refill their emotional cup and let them go their way. And they can feel increasingly secure as we make it safe for them to come back to us. It's like when a four-year-old is playing nearby and they come to show us something. We can say to them, "Not now, honey. I'm too busy." Or, "Can't you see? I'm talking to someone right now here." Or, "Is that supposed to look like a kangaroo?" Or, we can stop what we're doing for a moment, interrupt who we're talking to for just a second, ease off on the art criticism, and say something like, "That's really cool. Thanks for showing me that. Why don't you tell me about that?" Maybe even give them an affirming hug. This illustrated, I'd argue that we all need such circles of security in our lives, throughout our lives, whether those circles be family or friends. I think we need people in our lives who will be present in our lives as secure bases from when and where we go out and explore the world and to come back to a safe havens to which we can return, especially at the end of our tough days or our tough weeks or our tough months or our tough years. I think our relationship with Jesus Christ actually is very much like this. He is our secure base, the foundation of our faith. And he is our safe haven, our ever-present help in times of trouble. But here's the difference. There's nowhere we can go where we'd be without Jesus Christ. To use the terms of reference so far, he even walks the circle with us instead of just detaching and going, "I see them and they're within a safe eye shot." He walks it with us. So the question for our this morning's consideration is really simple. How can we then, if we understand this to be true, choose to believe it's true, how can we practice the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives daily? Well, to break a little bit of the ice, we're going to do a little bit of theology a la the skit guys. So if you could, Joshua, give me round two, video number two, the skit guys, reminding us that Jesus did grow up.
I wonder what it would be like to be born in a manger.
Yeah, I wonder what ever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
What? Wait, so you're saying that the baby Jesus Christmas story is the same as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah, thanks, honey.
Wow, I just never really put the two concepts together. Wonder what happened to that guy, huh?
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, there's some time in there, right? I mean, he grew up, he taught people, he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross and came back to life, and, you know, now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts? Okay, I was really... Oh, wow. Okay, I never really put all those guys together, you know?
Only one guy.
I tell you this. Here's an idea. Maybe we stop just making Christmas all just this once-a-year isolated thing, but we make it an ongoing story about the salvation in our hearts and lives. Up top.
It's the idea.
Works for me. I can lie to you. That's good. That's just good stuff. So, that's a little bit of theology. Not great theology, but it's there. He's the same guy yesterday, today, and forever, so says the writer of the book of Hebrews. He was the baby Jesus, and he was the carpenter's son. He is the risen Lord who sits currently at the right hand of God the Father, and whose spirit resides in those who trust him and follow him. And he will be the one to come back to this good earth to make things right again, as they were before the fall of Adam and Eve. He will make all things new. He is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, which means God with us, as many of you know. He is the one who said, I am with you to the very end of the age. So how can we practice the presence of Jesus in our lives today? 3 points really quickly. First one is this, by remembering that Jesus is our secure base. Here's some things that I found really helpful to remember about Jesus as my go-to guy. One, he gave me life and he gives me breath. The scripture says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then it goes on to say in Acts chapter 17, he himself gives everyone life and breath. Just give me a moment here. When I turn to Jesus, I turn to life, not death or condemnation, but to the author of life. He keeps me alive. That breath there, gift. That next breath, gift. Another gift, and so on and so on. Second thing, author of life gives me life. Go-to guy for that reason. Second, he's not wishy-washy. This isn't wishy-washy Jesus. He is the same guy every day. Imagine being able to go to someone whenever you need to receive understanding and counsel and encouragement. From someone who made you and loves you and knows what's best for you. Someone who will give you the straight goods. That's Jesus Christ. Third, he's only a prayer away. Gives me life. It's not wishy-washy. I can talk to him anytime and listen to him anytime. I don't need to make an appointment. He's never too busy for me, even though he's running the cosmos. It's impossible to interrupt him, even though he hears the prayers of every one of his children. He is always happy to hear from me, and he's happy to speak deep truth into my mind and heart when I take the time to listen. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to spend any more time on it other than to say it's an important feature to me to remember. This is why he's my secure place, apart from the 3 points I've already made. He is powerful. And with his power is a matching love. May we remember the secure base from which we come when we step out onto the circle to explore our world, and his name is Jesus Christ. They say that morning routines set the tone for the rest of the day. Maybe instead of being stressed and rushing around and slurping down caffeine as much as we can, or jamming into our gullets that morning breakfast, whatever it might be, muffin, let's say, down our gullets, we might begin our days with a very simple prayer, something like this: Jesus, this day is from you, and it is for you. Use me for your purposes. And then start looking. Now let's try that together. I can see you're resistant to that a little bit, but let's try that together. I want you to do, I never ask you to do this, so indulge me, okay? I want you to close your eyes for a second and imagine that you are happily asleep at home right now, which for some might be what you're wishing anyway, that you are just about to wake up to begin your day, that you are hovering in that blissful state of semi-consciousness just before a daybreak. Now you're awake, straight up, big stretch, maybe a yawn, and pray with me if you would. Jesus, this day is from you and for you. Use me for your purposes. And one more time. Jesus, this day is from you and for you. Use me for your purposes. You're already having a better day. I know it. And we're out the door now, okay? How can we practice the presence of Jesus in our lives today? Point number two, by praying without ceasing. Brother Lawrence was a Catholic monk, depending if you have a list, who lived in the 16th century, who wrote a small little book, which lots of folks have read, called The Practice of the Presence of God. In it, he explained how he thought we could enjoy the presence of God in the everyday, not just at church services on Sunday mornings. The key, he said, was to turn mundane activities into prayer, to pray without ceasing. So you're probably wondering, like I would be reading that, like, how do you do that? I mean, I got things I got to do in my day. I can't just be praying all day long. Like, I got to teach. I got to do this. If I'm changing the filter, I can't be talking. Yes, you can, actually, as it turns out. So what that might look like. Let's talk about a basic, straightforward, ordinary day. You wake up. Thank you, Jesus, for a place to sleep. Thanks for the rest that I got. Maybe I needed more, but thanks for the rest I got. And that was a weird dream, Jesus. Can you help me with that one? I don't really understand that one. Talk to him. You set the tone for your day with a prayer like we just prayed. Jesus, this day is from you and for you. Use me for your purposes. You make breakfast, but you burn your toast, because life is like that sometimes. That's frustrating, Jesus, but it's not the end of the world. I'll just, scrape it and give it to one of the kids. Or the dog. Hey, dog, that's God spelt backwards. You see, you're already on my mind. You laugh, Jesus laughs, it's all good. Off to work you go. Thank you for my job, Lord. Thank you for my health and the gifts you've given me to do the work that I get to do. May I do my work well today. You face challenges and solve problems all work day long. A customer walks away unhappy. Jesus, help me overcome my self-doubt and my self-loathing now. Help me to remember what I do well. Help me to put that one customer interaction into perspective, because it's not everything. And give me a chance at a do-over, would you? A coworker lets you down. Try to relate. Jesus, it's so disappointing. It makes me feel like I have to do everything myself to make sure that it gets done and done properly. I know that's not true, and that very thought is going to kill me. But there it is. Thanks for listening. Help me to gently confront my coworker, and then, if I need to, help me adjust my expectations of him. You're on your way home. Traffic is backed up. Jesus, it doesn't look like I'm going anywhere fast here. What do you want to talk about? The Canucks? Seriously? Okay. You think they should put... You too think they should put McCann on the second line as well? No? Oh no. You think they should, but McCann... You want to talk about what's on my heart? Okay. Right. It's evening. Dinner. Relaxation. Jesus, that was a tough day. Thanks for walking the circle with me. Thanks for giving me the energy for my day. Thanks for all that was good in it. Because, as I prayed earlier, everything that's good comes from Him. Last point, how can we practice the presence of Jesus in our lives? By letting Him refill our spiritual cup. And how might we do that? Three ways. Let Him tell you, let Him show you, and let Him train you. Let Him tell you. Listen to what He has said to you already. And I harp on this. Harp's the wrong word. I keep emphasizing this because we tend to forget these things. I can't tell you how many times in 12 years I've said this to myself, which has then come out to you. And that is, remember what Christ has already told you about yourself. When you forget that, you're in trouble. He says this, I've chosen you. You're a new creation. You're a child of God. I've brought you near to God by my blood. You are a citizen of heaven. I will guard your heart and mind. I will supply all of your needs. I love you. I'm your friend. All that is mine is yours. These are all scriptures that I've taken and I've paraphrased to make them sound as if Christ is speaking directly to you. Because you know what? He actually is. Listen to what else He might tell you in the quiet of your heart or in the words of someone else. And know that if it isn't true or if it's condemning, it is not the voice of the one who is your safe haven. Point two, let Him show you. Receive all that is good as if it comes from Him, because it does. Every good and perfect gift, says James, the writer of that epistle, is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Receive hope and joy and peace and love because they originate in Him. When someone gives you hope, cling to it as a gift from Christ. When you have a reason for joy, delight in it as if it's a gift from Jesus. When you have peace in a very difficult situation, hold to it as being given it by Christ Himself. When someone shows you love, embrace it as the gift that it is from Jesus Himself. And let me say this too. Receive also material things. He will supply your needs, meaning He'll meet them. He may do this by giving you work for you to be able to buy what you need, or He may do this by giving you things you need through someone else. Enjoy what Christ has given you, either way. Last point, let Him train you. Sometimes Jesus will test your faith to prove its genuineness. If you do not believe me, take Peter at his word in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That is a quote from him. When He does this, let Him do this. Faith is like a muscle. It gets stronger with usage. The more you use it, the more it stretches and develops. Now, it might seem odd that I'm telling you to let Jesus stretch your faith, and that is partly what makes Jesus a safe haven for us. Someone who stretches us? That doesn't sound safe. But think of it this way. Who would be a better person to develop this muscle of faith than someone who is our secure base and safe haven? Jesus loves us enough to tell us the truth, and the truth is that if we place our faith in anything but him, we will be sorely let down. Rick Warren identifies a number of faith-developing tests in our lives, just an observation he makes from the scriptures in his own life, and I'll just share them quickly with you, three out of the four or five that he mentions to end. The first is the pressure test. It asks, how will I handle stress? Do we turn to God when we're in trouble and not to other things? And I know for most of us, we go, oh man, I just don't, you know, oh, I feel condemned by that. I don't turn as quickly or as often. Okay, so let's get past that. And let's just say, just turn. And when you don't, know that you'll get other chances to turn. And he'll be waiting. You don't need to say to yourself, man, I suck. I did not turn there. Not helpful. Right? But you will get chances to turn otherwise. So, Christmas Eve. We're in GW, the theater here. And we're having challenges with the technology. We have people come in, Greg, Aaron, me, others. And we sat in that crazy sound booth for, I want to say hours, because it was hours. So it was hours. We're trying to figure it out. And I'm just about to leave because, A, I need to eat, and B, I got to change. I got to get into my formal shorts. So I did, went home. But before I did, and I'm only illustrating this as I actually got this kind of right once, I was down below prepping for the night, talking to Jesus, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on up there, and I got nothing really of value to add because I don't have anything by way of knowledge. Would you help us with that? I actually turned to him first. And then I went upstairs and I turned to Ron Gertson because that's what Jesus told me to do. And then Ron said, and I quote, you guys will figure it out. I said, Jesus, is there somebody else I can call? He said, no, I'm it. We did solve the problems. We did figure it out because we have a persevering youth guy and an enduring staff otherwise and great help in Patty and Alan and everyone else that helped that night. The second test is the people test. We get disappointed by people because we sometimes expect them to meet a need that only God himself can meet. Things like hope and peace and joy and even love. Last test, the priorities test. It asks, who will be first in our lives? And here's how we'll know. By asking these three questions, what do I think about most? Where does my money go first? How do I spend my time? Now, at the risk of embarrassing Jackie, I want to say this because she's front row and we're going away for a week, so it should be good. Jackie's a master parent, and I get the privilege of doing parenting with a master parent by virtue of her heart and her experiences, but also now by virtue of her education. And when we talk about, and we saw illustrated in the IKEA commercial, I suppose you might call it, or video, presence, what I watch Jackie do consistently is choose to make time for all of us, actually, including me. But it's in the middle of something. Mom, I got something to show you. Drops what she's doing. Off she goes. What's going on? Or if it's Joshua playing the guitar, I have this new song I'm working on. I'd love to hear that. Too often, I am doing something important, like prepping a sermon or whatever, which is important. It's not to say it isn't, but is it the most important? Right? So let's ask ourselves those questions, and in asking them, talk to Jesus about how we would answer them together. And during these tests, the pressure test, the people test, the priority test, and during these tests, make us ready to head out again onto the circle to explore our world with Jesus Christ. The kids in our lives want our presence more than our gifts. Similarly, we absolutely need the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives even more than the things he gives us. May we then practice his presence in our lives. May we remember that Jesus is our secure base. May we pray without ceasing, and may we let him refill our spiritual cup. Let's pray.